Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Lob to Giannis, who flushes it through. He comes away scowling again. The Greek Freak on the back end of the alley-oop.
Let's Talk starts now.
Giannis takes off the other way, hammers it home. A little exclamation point with 1.9 seconds to go. And he's going to hear it from the fans here at United Center.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, we talked last night on this very show about when is Giannis going to return, and the message that we tried to convey was essentially, look, don't just sit there and hope and wait that, hey, Giannis is going to be back soon and that's going to change everything. Lo and behold, less than 24 hours later, Giannis is back, and it may not have changed everything, but it changed a lot for this group. 29 points. Offense looked better. There's still some room for growth and improvement. But for a group that your defense had largely played well enough for you to win a lot of these games, a handful, I should say, of these games, you went 2-6 in the 8 games that Giannis missed. Your defense did its job. It kept you in the game where it wasn't a total disaster. Your offense was just brutal. 29th in offensive efficiency in those 8 games without Giannis. You go back to what when the initial injury occurred in Cleveland, way back when, which already feels like we've lived 3 or 4 different lifetimes during this season. But when that initial injury occurred, the adductor strain for Giannis, we referenced some of these numbers of, hey, by the way, with Giannis on the floor, Bucks offense has been number one in the NBA. With him off the floor, it's been really bad, to put it mildly. Like, they've played at a 58-win pace in those minutes that Giannis has been on the floor. In the minutes he's been off the floor, they've played at a 14-win pace. And I think all of us saw those numbers at the time and said, yeah, I mean, it's certainly worse. I don't know if it's 14 wins worse. And then we saw the ensuing games and saw, oh, no, this is probably accurate. So we've heard a lot of messaging from the coaching staff and from the very few true firm believers that remain out there for this group of, hey, you don't have Giannis, right? It's tough to come to these broad conclusions and make any overarching statements about where this team currently is when you don't have the guy that all of this is built around. And while that's true, it's also no longer early. And if we're being honest, they're 3-11 in games that Giannis has not played in this season. That matches what we've seen for these last 3 weeks and, you know, the handful of games that he missed with the adductor strain as well. But if you do the math, they're 10-8 in games that Giannis has played in. Obviously, there's a chance for that number to continue to grow, especially in the short term with this schedule that's in front of you. The next 4 games, especially. Charlotte on the road on Monday, Wizards at home on Wednesday, Charlotte again Friday nights, and then on the road Sunday in Sacramento against the Kings. But 10-8 is not good enough, right? It's not enough. That's the big thing about this sample size. 18 games with Giannis is not what you expect it to have at this point in the season, but 10-8, that's not what you hang your hat on. Better, it shows you, okay, when they have Giannis, this team is probably somewhere around the 6th seed. Maybe they could, you know, get frisky and plucky and pull off some more wins, and they could maybe jump up near that 5 seed, because it seems like outside of 2 teams, especially maybe 3 in the Eastern Conference, nobody really has any interest in finishing any better than essentially 500. But this doesn't put you up there with the elites. It's been a challenging season to assess so far. All that being said, I think when you watched this team tonight, you saw Giannis back on the floor. The big things to keep an eye on were, how does this work with Ryan Rollins? How does this work with Kevin Porter Jr.? What does it mean for Miles Turner? He had some interesting splits with and without Giannis. And all that, by and large, looked pretty good tonight. So can you just start to bottle this and win some games? As we've joked several times, they're a couple of games away from being a couple of games away, and you're still there because of what the teams directly in front of you are doing, and that is refusing to consistently win games. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Giannis makes his return, scores 29 points. You get to 13-19 on the season. You're still six games below 500. Can't do it overnight, but you got to start to do it now. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. More after this.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
And the Bucks go the other way with it. Turner sends it down low to Giannis. Right past Bouzelis, and he has another rack attack as he comes away flexing. Oh, that felt good, big fella. He's been waiting to bite into some of these defenses.
Yeah, 18 paint points tonight for Giannis. You knew that was going to be a big advantage for the Bucks. It is a Bulls team that does not offer much in terms of resistance. And Giannis really took advantage of that tonight. It just felt good to see him back out there. A little bit of a slow start, but from the second set of minutes that he played in this game on, he just started to assert himself and take over. And look, let's start with the other big thing, too. Giannis's return is huge, but hopefully, and we talked a lot about this last night, hopefully, this is your starting lineup. Go forward, right? I mean, assuming you have health and assuming you can keep these guys on the floor, you know Giannis isn't going to play in every single game this season. And by the way, I believe he just has one game that he can miss if he's going to be eligible for all NBA honors and, you know, MVP voting, which he's finished top four in the last, what, 7 years. Yes, it's only 14 games that he has missed, and it's 17 that you're allowed to. You got to play in 65 games, but you also have to hit a minutes threshold. This came back to bite Dante DiVincenzo, I think it was a couple of years ago, for the sixth man of the year vote. And Giannis has had two of those games where he played fewer than 15 minutes because of injuries. So you basically have to tack two of those on. So it's unlikely, unfortunately, that Giannis' streak is going to continue there. But assuming you have that health, this is the group we need to see. This is the group we need to see extended minutes from. This is the group we need to see extended looks at and how they pair off of one another and play together. This is it, right? I don't think there's any disputing these have been your five best players. It's not to take away from what some other guys have done. Bobby Portis, after a bit of a slow start, he has been Mr. Reliable and Consistent. Another double-double for you tonight. But this is it, the concept of this team and, you know, surrounding Giannis with shooters and two-way players. You may not have thought one of these guys, at least, was your starter coming into the season, but here we are. He has clearly been, you know, arguably your second or third best player all season long in Ryan Rollins that we're talking about. This five-man group, Miles Turner, Giannis, A.J. Green, Ryan Rollins, Kevin Porter Jr., this needs to be the starting five going forward. And not only, you know, needs to be your starters, we need to see heavy minutes from this group, right? We criticized the minutes from Ryan Rollins last night being only, what, 23? Somewhere around there. It said, look, 30-plus minutes. Like, he absolutely has to be sitting there. You know, I thought it took us a long time to learn the obvious last year, and that, you know, you should really start and heavily play your best players. And, look, last year's team was different because we're talking about veterans that had more of a track record, and this was really the last stand for a lot of that group. You know, we ultimately saw the end of Chris Middleton's time here in Milwaukee. We saw the end of Brooke Lopez's time here in Milwaukee. So you're going to go down swinging with those types of guys. Dame Lillard, the end of his time here, the short-lived time in Milwaukee. You don't have those baked-in excuses this year. Like, we knew coming in, it's going to be different. We're going to try to play different. We're going to be playing on both ends of the floor. We're going to try to play faster. We're going to do things differently so far this year. One of the ways you do that is with this group. So it's been very frustrating and discouraging to see some of those minutes kind of dip for Ryan Rollins and be inconsistent. This should be the start of, okay, now that we're healthy, this is what we're doing. These five guys are starting. Giannis played 25 minutes because of the minutes restriction, but AJ Green still somewhat not fully there, I think we can say, from the shoulder issue. Miles Turner, 27 minutes. A big part of that was what Bobby Portis started to give you offensively. But your backcourt, you know, and once Giannis is back up to full strength as well, those three guys in Giannis, Kevin Porter Jr., and Ryan Rollins, those are the three best players on this roster. Those guys need to be at the 35-minute-plus threshold. Go forward. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line as the Bucks knock off the Bulls in Giannis's return tonight. Charlotte Hornets coming up next. We'll check in on what the status is going to be for Con Knipple, who left last night's win for Charlotte. And the standings, as we've talked about, those teams in front of the Bucks continue to go through struggles. The Bulls were on a win streak prior to this game tonight, but you see teams like Atlanta losing six in a row. You know, we may very well get to a point near the end of the season where we just say, look, your opportunity was there in mid to late December to really start to do something. And it took too long to get Giannis back. You didn't play well enough in those games that he wasn't on the floor, whatever it was, but that was your opportunity, and it slipped by. So that's why your seed number is this. But you absolutely have to make the most of these next four games here. And if you can do that, then it starts to get interesting. So we'll take a closer look at those standings coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
And if I try to change, Bucks team on offense had its second lowest rating offensively, or net rating, I should say, is a pass inside. There's another dunk for Giannis. Took the feed from Porter, and it's too easy. Staples it down. That's four straight dunks for Giannis.
Points tonight from Giannis as the Bucks win in his return, taking down the Chicago Bulls 112-103. He scores 29. Bucks get to 13-19 on the season. And now let's see if you can do something with this and can finally win consecutive games for the first time in 2 months. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and to start in Hale's Corners. Dan, you're up first.
Hey, I appreciate you guys taking the call. I just, good win and everything. I just, again, getting their butts kicked on the glass and that bench unit coming and doing nothing again. I just don't see this team going anywhere without proving that bench and somehow being able to control the glass more.
I didn't think the Bucks were bad on the glass tonight. Look, if we're going to look at raw rebounding numbers, it doesn't tell the rebounding story. If you want to look at the counting numbers, 52 rebounds for the Bulls to 47 for the Bucks. That's not getting your butts kicked on the glass. They've continued to get better. And, you know, in the last seven games now, they've been a top 10 rebounding team. So rebounding is nowhere near where I would start a list of complaints, right? I mean, it's they turnovers is number one. Full stop there. And again, better, but you got four turnovers from KPJ tonight. You had 12 as a team. That was the good thing. But your turnovers are what's killing you. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. If you want to say the Bulls got more offensive rebounds, I mean, fine. But we've seen butts kicked on the glass earlier this season with a handful of games. This is not one that I would classify as that. The turnovers have to improve for this group, and you felt pretty good in the first half. I think they just had four. And I believe the Bulls only scored a single point off of those turnovers. So it was a different story in the second half of this game. And that's ultimately what is going to be the undoing of this team. As they've started to get healthier, you know, without Giannis when they were playing with more size, they have gradually gotten better at it. I think the one thing is they're just never going to be a good offensive rebounding team. Now, the numbers have improved. You got 11 of them tonight, but a lot of teams are getting 11, 12, and more on a nightly basis. And again, look at the percentage for rebounding. Don't look at the overall numbers here. But it's just not the philosophy of this team. That's not how they are going to attack things on the glass. The Bulls, by the way, 76% defensive rebounding rate in this game tonight. Turnovers are the thing that we have to continue to monitor, because here's the other thing. Like, again, if we're going to start with a list of, well, this has to improve and this has to improve and this has to improve, it would be fair to include rebounding on there and say, hey, it'd be nice if you could get back to where you were for basically all of the last 7 years, most of the last 7 years, where the Bucks were one of the better rebounding teams in every category but offense. They were in the top three in defensive rebounding and total rebounding. Right? They were one of the best rebounding teams because they were so good on the defensive glass. You know, part of that, too, is just, yes, you have Giannis and Miles Turner out there for your size, but if you're playing with the rest of a roster that is seemingly everybody else outside of Giannis, Bobby Portis, and Miles Turner, and Kyle Kuzma, it seems like every other player is 6'4". That's where the defensive rebounding numbers come into play. And I remember talking about this earlier in the season where, you know, I think it was 11 games in those losses that started to pile up in a 7-game stretch, the Bucks gave up, I believe it was 22 offensive rebounds to the starting wing players on the opposing team. So in other words, guys that your two guard and your small forward would be defending and would be in charge of putting a body on and preventing them from getting the offensive rebound and securing the defensive board. That's the biggest issue with the defensive rebounding for this team, is you're a small team. And, you know, we've heard Doc say, well, some guys can do it and some guys can't. There is a little bit of truth to that on the offensive glass, and I wouldn't say it's even some guys can't. Some guys are really good at it. I mean, like, look at the Knicks and Mitchell Robinson, where sure, he's big, and sure, he takes up a lot of size. So did Brook Lopez. But Mitchell Robinson is just a magnet for offensive rebounds. Steven Adams, Clint Capella, some of these guys through the years. Zach Edey, yeah, he's massive. That's not all it takes to get offensive rebounds. So some guys are just really good at it. But we've seen the rest of the league embrace it. And the Bucks haven't really. They have started to include it a little bit more, but they have not embraced it. But, you know, for me, I mentioned turnovers. It all boils down to the true shot attempts. So if you want to look at things like pace and, you know, when we talk about offenses are more efficient now than ever, the big thing is possessions. Get your offense as many possessions as you can. That's why teams are embracing offensive rebounding and saying, we don't even care if we get killed in the transition game. We'll take our chances that we won't. We just need to secure offensive rebounds because that's another possession for us, or it extends the possession and just gets us more shots. That's what you want in this league. With how efficient offenses are, part of that too is the way the game is officiated, but you just want to get as many looks as you can. And the way you track that is your true shot attempts. You take your field goal attempts and you add that to your free throws times 0.44 to factor in like and ones and technical fouls. And the Bucks have routinely gotten beat there. It's a number of things that go into it, right? Rebounding is part of that. So are turnovers. And in tonight's game, it was another game where, yeah, you won. And you won by multiple possessions in this game. You won by 3 possessions. And you still lost on the true shot attempt in a game where you took 8 more free throws than your opponent as well. But the Bulls ended up getting 100 true shot attempts in this game. Bucks got 96. So basically 3.5, 96.5. More shot attempts, true shot attempts in this game that the opponent had, and you managed to win. But season as a whole, the Bucks are routinely seeing the opponent take 5 more of those per game than they are. That is not a recipe for success. And even when we see some of these numbers start to improve, whether it was turnovers, rebound, and I said has gotten better, we haven't seen all of them converge and come together in a single game. And that's a part of the reason why this team has not won back-to-back games since October, since games 4 and 5. So, yeah, you got to be healthy. You'd love to rebound the ball better, clean up the turnovers. But at this point, you know, it can't just be, well, we'll work on one at a time. Like, you got to start to do all of these now. Because as we mentioned, the opportunity is sitting there in the standings when you look at these teams in front of you. The Atlanta Hawks have dropped 6 straight games. The Bulls had won 5 straight games up until this loss tonight. But when you look at the standings in the East, there are a lot of teams that are sitting there a couple of games below or right at 500 now. And you just continue to, and we mentioned this a couple of times, in real time. You know, you think back to some games like that loss to the Houston Rockets, a game that you really controlled for, I would say, 3/4 of the game before you ultimately just came up short and couldn't close it out. That was a tough one. Obviously, the loss to the Brooklyn Nets and the way that you were not competitive, that is a tough pill to swallow. The way you played against the Miami Heat in the Cup game, ultimately losing by a single possession down to the final possession of the game, couldn't close out against Philadelphia. And we heard Doc talk about the late game execution and not using your foul to give. All of these games, I remember saying on this show at the time as those happened, look, every game counts in the standings. And it's foolish to say, well, this is a must-win game at this point in the season. I still subscribe to the must-win games are in the playoffs when you're facing elimination. But it's foolish to say one game counts more than the other two. Like they all count the same in the standings. But these are the games you look back on that you were in and you controlled or you had a chance to close out. And you say, man, if only that game went our way, if only these two went differently, then we wouldn't be in the play-in tournament or then we wouldn't be the sixth seed. We'd be here. Like think about last year. The start to the season that the Bucks had, you know, instead of 2-8, if they go 6-4, which was basically the pace they played at for the rest of the season, if they go 6-4, they're the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. And then you talk about sliding doors. Who knows what happens? You're not playing the Pacers. You get the Pistons in the first round in that setting. Maybe you're finally snapping this back-to-back first-round losses. You're on to the second round. Who knows where it goes from there? But these ones that we singled out, and I think those are the ones that stick with you the most, especially that Houston game, especially that Philadelphia game, that Miami game. You look at those, and you say, man, if those went differently, let's just tack on 3 of those games right now. And say, okay, we executed. You beat the Rockets. You fouled Tyrese Maxey with a foul to give, and you play the free throw game and beat the 76ers. If 3 of those games go your way, right now they're 16-16. That would be 9th in the Eastern Conference. Still not great, but a half game back of the 17-16 Cavaliers and just a game back of the 17-15 Miami Heat. And just a couple of games back of basically the rest of that group that's 4-6 in the Eastern Conference. But they didn't. And so instead of being within striking distance of, you know, now we can really talk ourselves into it. Giannis is back. He's healthy. We got this new optimized starting 5. We got a favorable schedule here for the next week or so. We can start to be that team who it's our turn to go on a run. But you didn't. And instead of being a couple of games back, now it's 5 that we're talking about. So it's not insurmountable, but, you know, we've had this same conversation several times over on the show. Okay, you like what you saw. Let's see if this is the start of something. And each time it hasn't been. This time it has to be, because it's no longer all that early. It's 32 games into the season. You're 9 games away from this season being halfway over. So where can you get to by the time we get to that first week of January? You know, I mentioned a lot of different scenarios. It's not a like-for-like comparison here. But you think back to last year, where the Indiana Pacers were, who, by the way, now own the worst record in the Eastern Conference because of the Washington Wizards winning 3 of their last 10 games, because the Brooklyn Nets have won 3 straight games. Not only the worst record in the East, the worst record in the NBA belongs to the Indiana Pacers. But you think back to where Indiana was last year and said, if that's the scenario you're in, where you can say, okay, we didn't have obviously ideal health here. Indiana battled a lot of injuries a season ago right around that time. We didn't have great health. You played the Pacers on New Year's Eve and beat them. And Indiana was just struggling to find their way. At one point, there were, I believe, 5 was the most games beneath 500 a season ago, early in the season. But when the Bucks beat them on New Year's Eve, they dropped to 16-18 on the season. And to me, that was always the goal of, okay, hasn't been ideal, haven't had the health you would have hoped for. You would certainly love to forget the entire month of November. December didn't start great either with the Giannis injury. But if you can get to right around there and say, okay, going into January 1st, can we be hovering around 500? If you can do that, then I think you can talk yourself into something. It's a different story. Well, best case scenario now is you're 15-19. But again, look at any one of those games. Look at the Timberwolves game, the way that you played for most of it before ultimately falling apart in the second half. Win that game. Win these next two games. You're 16-18, just where Indiana was. So it's unfortunately starting to bubble up a lot of these instances. It's not too late, but I think Miles Turner put it best. You know, when Giannis went down initially that second time and said, we're all aware of the situation. It's still early, but we have to be aware that you can't keep saying it's early. It's early, but we got to do something with it. And that's where this team currently sits. 855-616-1620, the Citing Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Going to see the Charlotte Hornets 2 times in your next 3 games. We'll take a closer look at that Hornets team and the latest on Con Knipple, who I mentioned left last night's win for the Hornets with an ankle injury. We'll take a look at that coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
It was team defense helping on the backside of that play. Porter on the other end. He drives. Lobs to Giannis, who flushes it through. He comes away scowling again. The Greek Freak on the back end of the alley-oop on a beautiful feed.
29 points tonight from Giannis to lead all scorers. Just dominated for large portions of this game. We didn't even address the fireworks that we saw late in this one, that it felt like Giannis maybe taking out some frustration and just, I'm back. I'm throwing down this dunk here. And the crowd and the Bulls did not take too kindly to it. So some late game fireworks that we saw there. Up next, the Charlotte Hornets. And right now, you know, when we talk about the standings and the teams around the Bucks, again, it's not insurmountable. And I think every metric that's out there, or every one of these sites and services, whichever one that you use for projections, I believe just about all of them still have the Bucks in the top 10, at least, in qualifying for, at the very least, the play-in tournament. Right now, they're just 1 game out of it. Again, let's just look at the loss column and use that as our barometer here. You're 1 game out of it. The Hawks have 18 losses. You have 19. And, you know, I think we talked about this in last night's show, too. there have been a lot of disappointments in the league so far this season. Part of that, I think, is a changing of the guard. Part of that is just how much the league itself has changed with the CBA, the style of play, when you think about how many teams are playing differently. And we've heard, we're going to play faster. That's the new en vogue way, right? The Miami Heat are still doing it, but it felt very much like smoke and mirrors at the time. And I think we've started to see that kind of fall into line for Miami. But teams are playing differently. Teams are building their rosters differently because of this CBA and because of what success teams like the Thunder and the Pacers and others have had. So with that has come a lot of disappointment. You know, it's certainly disappointing to see the Bucks at 13-19 on the season, but I would say it's even more disappointing to see Atlanta at 15-18. I think just about everyone had the Hawks finishing in front of the Bucks this season. It is certainly even more disappointing to see the Cleveland Cavaliers at 17-16 on the season. And again, yeah, they've had injuries. But if I'm the Bucks, I would say, you know what, I'll trade with you. If you want to give us those guys to use and say, well, here's your roster. Two of them are going to be out for most games, but you'll have the other two. And the rest of the guys, if we tell you that and say, okay, well, here's this. Here's this roster, and we're going to take Giannis off for half of the season. I'll take your situation more than I would take this. That's been a disappointment. And that's helped where this team is right now. That at 13-19, just a game out of being in the play-in tournament, just step one is that, is start to get wins, win back-to-back games for the first time in 2 months, and then get into that group and find what works. Again, health is the most imperative thing for this team from here on out, to stay healthy and continue to lean into some of these lineups and see what works best with Giannis and Ryan Rollins. What works best with Giannis and Kevin Porter Jr.? What are things we like with KPJ and Rollins on the floor at the same time? Which one of these guys pairs best with Miles Turner? How are we going to stagger these things? Can't really do it now when you get Giannis on a minutes restriction. But these are the things to start to keep an eye on, because that's how you're going to crawl out of this hole. But you got the Charlotte Hornets next, and two games against Charlotte. These are big games, because as close as you are, really by way of what the other teams are doing, to rejoining the party of the play-in tournament teams, you're just as close to the Charlotte Hornets and the Brooklyn Nets. You know, in these two games you have against Charlotte, and by the way, we got to include Washington there. If it's a disaster situation, let's say the Hornets take both of these games, they win the season series, and they will move past you in the standings. There is potential for at the end of the week, next week, the Bucks to have the third worst record in the Eastern Conference. So as much as we can point to, well, these are below 500 teams and this is the stretch to do it, the last eight games, we saw a lot of teams below 500. And the Bucks, I know they didn't have Giannis, still couldn't win those games. They haven't consistently pieced that together. So we can't overlook those opponents. But if ever there was a time with that schedule that's in front of you, in January, I should say, that time is now. Con Knipple, I would guess, will play in that game on Monday. He left the win against the Orlando Magic last night in the first half with an ankle injury. The x-rays were clean, though. So I would assume he's going to be listed as questionable on the injury report when we do get that tomorrow. And I would guess he would play. But this game, to me, the importance of it, and how much this is the test to see, okay, this is a team that has stung you already once this season. This is a team that the way they play, they can give you some fits, and especially if they're going to have Con Knipple on the floor. They just got Brandon Miller back. But this is a team, by way of record and standings, you should beat. And we've heard Giannis preach all throughout the season of good teams don't lose back-to-back games. Well, that's we're well past that now. That's out the window. Win back-to-back games, right? Let's start to see that against a team that started to play a lot better and thinks they can catch and move past you. This is a very, very good test for the Bucks. You're going to have to be, to go back to the first call we had tonight, you're going to have to be improved on the glass. because of what Charlotte can do. And Musa Diabate specifically, one of the best. Again, when we talk about guys that just have it, that have a knack for getting offensive rebounds at a very, very high rate, Musa Diabate is up there in that list as well. So you're going to have to be better on the glass. I don't think you approach that game thinking, we are going to win rebounding against the Charlotte Hornets. But you can't roll over. Turnovers, though, is the big thing. And that is going to continue to be number one for this team, is get better at protecting the basketball. To go back to the true shot attempts, possessions, and just getting more actions. Protect the basketball. Right? Control what you can control. And what you can control is maybe let's avoid 5-second penalty. Let's avoid some of these sloppy inbounds passes. Let's avoid just sloppy entry passes overall. Let's try to limit those passes in our diet that are leaving our feet with no clear plan in mind. Let's start to work on those things and clean up the turnovers, because if we do that, when we got Giannis on the floor, this offense has been extremely good. So let's maximize those times that we've had Giannis on the floor, that we have Giannis on the floor, and get those shot attempts going at a very, very high rate for this group. There's some very startling things that stood out in the eight-game absence of Giannis. And a closer look at statistically, what do the Charlotte Hornets do best? We'll get into those things coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk. I'm on top of the world.
.112 to .103 final score tonight. Bucks beat the Chicago Bulls and now get to 13-19 on the season. I mentioned in those eight games that you played without Giannis, you went 2-6, and you're 3-11 overall this season in games he has not played in. But those eight games, the issue was your offense. 29th in offensive efficiency in those eight games. And, you know, where that came from, I think, is pretty clear. It was the shot quality and the looks that you got. Turnover is a big part of that as well. As, you know, the Bucks averaged 17 turnovers per game in that stretch. Only three teams turned it over more. But you turn the ball over, you weren't an efficient shooting team, really from anywhere, but especially from three. And if you don't have Giannis on the floor, the way you're going to have to win is to muck up the game. Just take a lot of threes, hit threes, piece together defensive possessions. They did one of those things, right? Their defense was good enough, but their shooting was not. They were 15th in three-point percentage in those eight games, 35% shooting from three in those eight games you played without Giannis. Season as a whole, the Bucks are shooting 40% from three, which is third best in the league behind the Denver Nuggets and the Houston Rockets. Now, they're still not taking a high volume of those, and neither are those two teams. But we saw the volume of threes drop off without Giannis all the way down to 20th. And the efficiency, so the quality of looks that you were getting, which goes without saying, Giannis creates a whole lot of space and separation for his teammates. So continue to keep an eye on those three-point numbers when you have him back on the floor, especially the corner threes. When you got Giannis consistently getting into the paint, and then you got Kevin Porter Jr. able to do the same as well, that's going to force the defense to collapse, and you're going to get a lot more looks from the corners, which, as we know, are the most efficient looks from three in the league. So that number I anticipate to go up, and with that, I expect the offense to get better. But quite frankly, this offense is going to need to be where it was the first 10 or so games this season, where it was one of the 10 best in the league. It's been nowhere near that since then. Tomorrow, or Monday's opponent, the Charlotte Hornets, a team we should get used to, is you're going to see them two times over the course of your next three games. They are sixth best in the league at offensive rebounding. That is about the only thing they do well offensively when you look at the four factors. The four factors that factor in the most to your success on both ends of the floor. What is your effective field goal percentage? Bucks have routinely been very good there. What is your turnover rate? What is your offensive rebounding rate? What is your free throw rate? The Hornets are 6th in offensive rebounding rate, but they're 17th at free throw rate. In other words, percentage of possessions that results in them going to the free throw line. They're 17 there. They're 24th in turnover rate. So they turn the ball over a lot, and they're 20th in effective field goal percentage. Now, conversely, the Bucks right now are 30th in offensive rebounding, 29th in free throw rate, 20th in turnover possession or in turnover percentage, but 2nd in effective field goal. It just goes to show you, it doesn't matter how effective, how efficient you are at shooting the ball if you're not getting as many of those shots as your opponent is. That is startling, to be number 2 in effective field goal percentage, but in the bottom 10 in the rest of those categories, and basically in the middle of the road, conversely, on the defensive side. Turnovers are going to be an opportunity against the Charlotte Hornets. They're a good defensive rebounding team as well, and they don't put their opponents at the free throw line. So can you force some turnovers against Charlotte and turn that into some transition baskets? And can you hold your own on the offensive glass? And quite frankly, is just having Giannis back enough for this team? We'll find out Monday, 6 o'clock tip from Charlotte. 5:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you once again Monday night.